My name is Nancy Rodway, and I had the good fortune of being involved in an environmental justice translational research project in the Ohio Valley. And this was entitled Successful Reduction of Community Exposure to Perfluorooctanoate Through an Environmental Justice Partnership, or How Can OCDOCs Help a Community Resolve a Problem? This research was supported by an R23 grant, an environmental justice grant through NIEHS. And these are the partners. And since it was a community partnership research, there are many partners in this project. Dr. Ted Emmett at the University of Pennsylvania was the principal investigator and the lead scientist. My objectives of this talk today are to learn how to show you how effective community research partnerships can be developed, and to review the science of CHPFOA for those who haven't heard of it, and to learn how interventions can result from effective communication of environmental health risks. All right, Ohio. For you Easterners or coastal people, Ohio's kind of in the breadbasket. And Little Hocking is in Appalachian, Ohio. Ohio is Appalachian in the southeast corner. Down by the picket fence is Ohio, and this is the Ohio River. And across the water is West Virginia. And it's Washington. We're talking about this tiny little podunk town, Little Hocking. And here's West Virginia, and here's Ohio. And we're dealing with a community in Washington County, Ohio. Again, I'm trying to orient you to think of the center of the country as a big pink blur. Here we are in Ohio, so of course Ohio gained a little notoriety in the last presidential election. We're on Little Hocking land, looking across the Ohio River and Little Island into the industrial corridor. That area is quite industrial, and of course when they first developed industry there, it was in the 40s and after the war, and it was quite welcome. This particular industry is the one that the community members of Little Hocking were concerned about. This is DuPont Washington Works, where they make Teflon, among other things. To make Teflon, they use chemicals that are called organofluorines, and the particular one that we're dealing with is PFOA, perfluorooctanoate. It's also called C8, and it's called C8 because there's 8 carbon atoms, and this is just the structure of PFOA on the bottom and perfluorooctane sulfonate on the top. So who cares? It's a silly little chemical, but PFOA has a lot of uses. It's used in the production of Teflon. It's not in the final product, so it's not in your frying pan. It's used for water-resistant coatings, many things, and it's not a regulated chemical, so you won't see much in the public domain. So it's on your bag of popcorn. You're eating PFOA. It's in firefighting foam. So all these people were exposed to PFOA, and PFOA is everywhere. It's in the Antarctic. It's in the Arctic. It's in unindustrialized area. It's very persistent. It does not biodegrade. It's present in marine mammals. We don't know where it comes from naturally, and can it be in Antarctica industrially? But again, who cares? But animal studies do show that PFOA is toxic. And of course, liver malignancies in rats is the biggest concern. In rats, it is hepatotoxic, immunotoxic, and will shrink fat. And there's also developmental delays in pups of rats. There's also in rats pancreatic acinar cell tumors and Leydig cell adenomas. Monkeys did show hepatotoxicity mainly. Industry has studied this chemical. DuPont 3M has studied this chemical. But, of course, folks in Little Hocking weren't very trusting of the industrial research. But cross-sectional analysis showed there's a correlation between PFOA and cholesterol, and a retrospective analysis showed an increased incidence of prostate cancer in retirees. But that was not repeated. It wasn't reproducible. PFOA-like in the environment has a relatively long half-life in humans. In humans, it's about 4 years. In rats, it's a lot faster. All right, so we have a community that's across the river from a company that is using PFOA. That company's been there since 48, and it's been using the chemical since 51. And Little Hocking established a water system to deliver water to the residents in 68. And darn it if PFOA wasn't detected in that water supply starting in 84, but those results were not made public. Well, how did it get in the water supply? The Washington Works plant had significant emissions of PFOA into the air. They would incinerate it off-site, and they would release it to the groundwater and to the Ohio River. The EPA stated in 05 that the individuals that are exposed to PFOA, they don't know really, is it coming from what's in the air, what's in the water, what's exposed dermally. So what happened in Washington County, Ohio, is there was a local swell of public concern, certainly. These folks are in an industrial alley. They all feel like they live in pollution. And so they got a local healthcare provider, got a community action organization going, and enlisted Dr. Ted Emmett, the University of Pennsylvania. So this community advisory committee would meet on at least a quarterly basis and included many members of the community. Their concerns were the state of West Virginia, who get taxes from the industry, they keep elevating the safe level of serum PFOA. 1 year it's 20, next year it's 75, the next year it's 150. Individuals in Washington County wanted their water tested, but the very few laboratories that test PFOA in the country had contracts with industry, so they refused to test the residents' water. 3M, right around that time, stopped manufacturing C8, and EPA, unfortunately, increased the residents' concern because they designated it a probable human carcinogen. And again, we don't know where the exposure is really coming from. So with this collaboration, the aims of the study were to determine the level of C8 in the blood of the residents, to determine where it was coming from, and was it hurting the residents? Did it cause any long-term damage, as it has been shown in rats? So we did a stratified random sample of 326 folks in Washington County in Little Hocking Water Association reticulation area, and also did a questionnaire to ask them about their water intake, their other exposures, their occupational exposures. Do they work at the DuPont plant? Do they have liver disease, thyroid disease? We also tested serum biomarkers of effect and serum PFOA. But really, the key of our study was half the science and half the communication strategy. Our goal was really to make this a community project. So you already see we've done some of these, and pardon me for the complicated diagram. So we got to where we got the study participants, all that, but we kept the collaboration and the interest in the stakeholders going by quarterly newsletters, a website, and we developed a strategy before we even got the results of how we would present those results to the community and to prioritize the results to the individual resident. So again, the science was one thing, the communication strategy was another job that we undertook. So our principles were we wanted the individual participants to get their results first. press would be formed, informed, but in a timely manner after the residents got their results. And we wanted certainly to be sure that the results were as accurate as possible, since they would not initially go through peer-reviewed literature. We wanted the study to be a credible source of information, because many of the residents thought we were in cahoots with industry or with government or with any other stakeholder. Certainly there was a lot of the residents had a lot of concerns about what the chemical was doing to them, so we tried to maintain control on the rumor mill. And we actually had a physician, and that was me, to answer questions from individuals concerning all the aspects of their results. And who were our targets for communication? We had many. And you see the bottom was our scientific community. We reversed the normal order. So our top priority was dissemination of individual results, and we timed the release of results very carefully. We group sent the letters of the individual results to the participants, and then we told the press that we're going to have a community meeting, and you'll find out the results of the community meeting. The individuals had already gotten their results. So we went into an auditorium on a hot August night, a high school auditorium, and we released the results. And only afterwards did the other stakeholders get the results, and then they were published in August 06. So, what are the results? Residents are exposed to C8 through their drinking water. And fortunately, there was no relationship between their blood C8 levels, PFOA levels, and other chemical markers, other biological markers that we tested. Oops, excuse me. And we didn't see any correlation between residents with self-reported history of liver or thyroid disease and their PFOA levels. C8 levels were, though, related to age, and you'll see a graph in just a second. Higher C8 PFOA levels in the blood were related to how much water you drank, and if people grew their own vegetables and ate killed their own meat, their PFOA levels were higher. And unfortunately, those folks were thinking, well, I'm eating my own homegrown vegetables, I'm maintaining a healthy lifestyle, but actually their PFOA levels were significantly higher. They were significantly lower in those who attempted to use and effectively use, we hope, a carbon water filter. And here's the results. General population, you and me, our levels are about 5. Folks in Little Hocking Water District, the median was 340. Workers, industrial workers in the production area of the DuPont plant had a significantly elevated PFOA levels. This was very concerning to residents. Children and the elderly had the highest level of PFOA. We really don't know why the elderly do. It's not an issue of time in residence. We know that. Children, we think it's because children drink more per kilogram body weight than older people. Those who used well water and wells were equally contaminated, if not more contaminated. Their serum levels of C8 were a function of the water, C8 level. Seemed to be a concentration factor of about 80, what was in the water to what was in their body. So at our community meeting, given these results, we recommended to have PFOA be removed from the water expeditiously and to continue to work with Washington Works plant to decrease their emissions. And we did recommend alternate drinking water because we hadn't done additional cancer studies. We don't recommend reliance on a filter because the filter results were only 25% decreased, and there wasn't a good mechanism to ensure the effectiveness of the filter. And we slapped West Virginia a little to say, hey, that you ought to reconsider the number that you're publishing for the safe level. And again, we had myself and primary medical doctors who we advised about the results residents could question. One of the one of the local residents published a book recently, and one of the quotes, and there was kind of funny, the results were released in a rural high school auditorium as soon as possible, which mightily inconvenienced the droves of industry, legal, government, and media people who had to travel to Appalachian, Ohio for the results. How were we successful? Well, the day just prior to our big community meeting, DuPont announced it would provide free water to all the residents. 78% of the households utilized that offer, and of course we published the results. DuPont is providing the free water. Minnesota and New Jersey now use the same standards, and DuPont is also building a new water filtration system in the Little Hocking District. It's due to be open any day now. So was this a strategy effective? Well, the flip-flop strategy altered the power structure. One key to it was controlling the information release of information, and it was critical to maintain independence and trust within a community, especially in an environmental justice grant. Currently, we are looking at archival cancer registry data so that we, because that's a big concern of the community. We're doing breast milk analysis, neonatal heel stick analysis, and an analysis of birth weights within the Little Hocking District and compared to those outside the Little Hocking District. Thank you.